I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm growing stronger every day with the Eucharist. Wow. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jess Romero. Matthew, welcome.
Thank you, Terry. Good to be here.
Glad to have you aboard, my friend. And as you know, every single day we read from the Gospel of the Mass, the daily Mass. We call it soul food. And as I like to say, you know, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And so we Catholics, we read the Bible every day at Mass. And even if you can't make the daily Mass, I want to recommend that you get a missal or go online and type daily readings. Mm-hmm. They're right there for you.
That's
so you
right.
Get that soul food. But Matthew, we have the Gospel of Matthew again, 25.
Right, Matthew 25, 1 through 13.
Yeah.
So a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, the commentary I have is from the Navarre Bible. I think it's interesting. They just say, you know, the main lesson of this parable has to do with the need to be alert.
Mm-hmm.
And so in practice, this means having the light of faith, which is kept alive with the oil of charity. Well, I love the way they say that, oil mm-hmm. of charity. Now, Jewish weddings, just to kind of get a feel for what was going on, Jewish weddings were held in the house of the bride's father. The virgins are the young unmarried girls, bridesmaids who are in the bride's house waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. You got the picture? Now, this mm-hmm. parable is centers on the attitude one should adopt up to the time when the bridegroom comes. In other words, it's not enough to know that one is inside the kingdom and of the church. One has to be on the watch and be prepared for Christ's coming by doing good works. It goes on, but I just would like to say, how does that apply to me in my life? Well, I look at it as a preparation for death that we're going to be talking later
about
on this program. But we need to be prepared. And how are we prepared? And my take on all this is the sacraments and reading the scriptures and being prepared that, you know, death can come at any moment. There's no guarantee. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 50 or 100. There's an expiration date on everybody's birth certificate.
Right.
And so we are going to have to face it. And so how do we prepare for it? By practicing virtue, charity, acts of charitable works. Why? Because this is how we're going to be ready to meet the bridegroom at the time when our life is called when we're called home. And really, I joke about this, and I'll turn it to you, but I joke mm-hmm. about the songs they sing in heaven and in hell.
Mm-hmm.
And the song they sing in heaven is, "I did it his way."
Mm-hmm.
And the song they sing in hell, "I did it my way." Yeah. And so that's really a free will decision by you and our listener. Which song do you want to sing will be based on how you live your life.
Well, that's right. You know, when we speak about the parables.
Yes.
And it's well to remember, you know, we have a tendency, I think, we read the Bible, we get used to these things,
okay.
we understand that's what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we miss how shocking the parables must have been to their original audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because parables are meant to make you feel uncomfortable. They're meant to make you think.
Good.
Right? It's like the gospel for this Sunday in the extraordinary form is Parable of the Good Samaritan.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of those good things where it's like, you know, you've got a Jewish man who falls among robbers. He's naked. He's beaten. He's unconscious at the side of the road. And a priest walks right by. Levite walks
right
by. And then the Samaritan, right? The enemy of the Jews is the one that stops and helps him. Right?
Surprise.
And so that's the thing. It must have made people's blood boil hear him saying this. And it's the same thing here. You've been to a wedding, Terry. I dare say you've been to one or two.
Yeah, that's a fair statement.
When have you ever been to a wedding when the bridegroom didn't show up until after midnight?
Never.
Right? That's a crazy scenario.
Never.
Right? The girls are supposed to be there with their lamps waiting. That's this whole custom that you talked about in the Navarre Bible.
Yeah.
It's inconceivable that they would have to have enough oil to keep their lamps going until after midnight.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
It's because the bridegroom just doesn't show up for hours and hours and hours. But there's an important point that our Lord is making about his return. That people can become complacent.
Oh, big time.
And fall asleep.
Yep.
And not and you know not have the oil of charity in their lamp and so forth. Because you know, just because it's been a long time, just because it's been a couple of thousand years, that's not a long time to God, right? It's not a long time to someone who's existed always and always will, who's even outside of time.
Think that one through.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fruit for good meditation but that tells you that, you know, you can't become complacent. You can't just think, oh, well, you know, Jesus hasn't come yet. He probably won't come for, you know, I once saw a button that, and I don't know, how pious this is, but years ago I saw a little button, you know, the kind that you wear on your suspenders or whatever, and it said, "Jesus is coming. Look busy." underlying that, it's a joke there, but underlying that, you know, it's you do need to be prepared.
Yeah, and you know, Matthew, what you're saying is, in our world that we live in today, it's so distracting, and what I mean by that is we've got so much titillation out there. That unless you put in your schedule a time for quiet time, it probably won't happen. And I really mean this. I get up to do my holy hour early in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning before Mass. And nobody talks to me. I read my scriptures. I'm just thinking and praying and reflecting and asking the Lord to bless my day. But
wouldn't you rather stay up another hour and surf the internet?
No. But you see, that's my point.
You mean you'd rather go to bed an hour earlier and get up an hour earlier? And
Yeah, and it's so fruitful. I want to just share that with our listeners that I'm a very active person. You probably know my energy level's high.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to start my day thinking about my meaning and purpose of life, it gives me the focus for the whole day.
Right.
That's where I'm going. Matthew, I have some good news. When we come back from the break, Zaina, who's a convert from Islam, who was on the show maybe 6 weeks ago talking about her excitement about becoming a Catholic. Well, I spoke with her this week and I asked her, could she call in at the second break and tell our listeners what's going on now that she's been a Catholic for several weeks?
And I
think that'll be fun.
Yeah, excellent.
Also, I want to mention, Matthew, my heart goes out, and I know I've talked to you so much. Matter of fact, I think too much to Matt because I complained to him. About the disbelief of Catholics in the Eucharist.
Mm.
And I'm just, it hurts me because for 40 years, I've been doing my own surveys at churches.
Right.
And 80, 90% of the Catholics don't have a clue of their belief about the real presence. And throughout history, many Eucharistic miracles took place many times, even when the priest doubted the real presence. And I'm going to be honest with you, Matt. I told you off the air. I'm going to say it on the air. I think with the poor formation of a lot of our priests, many of them don't believe in the real presence. It's a sad thing to have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we bring Eucharistic piety back? Now, in 1991, there was a Eucharistic miracle in Valenzuela where the priest was celebrating Mass. And after the consecration, he noticed the host was beginning to bleed from one side. You know, the priest quickly preserved the host and put it in the tabernacle and Then they had, you know, videos of it. And because this is 1991, everything was being documented.
Right. Yeah. It's not like it didn't happen in the Middle Ages or something.
Not like Monteano.
Yeah.
You know, the 8th century, there weren't, you know, we didn't have, you know, phones to take pictures.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, it seems to me that in times where there's doubt about the Eucharist, miracles seem to take place to try and reinforce the belief in the real presence. And I got to believe right now, with the lack of understanding of people with their faith in the Eucharist, that you know, these miracles could take place now because of the lack of disbelief. But I've been talking about this all week, and Bishop Robert Barron has a concern as a bishop, which he should. You know, what are we going to do? I want to ask you as a convert, because I keep pushing that convert button on you. You know, because you had no idea what the Catholics believed until you took instructions.
That's true.
Now that you've experienced the Catholic, what can we do to bring back a reverence for the Blessed Sacrament?
Well, see, that's the little piece of the puzzle that's so often missing in these commentaries, even from the clergy. They'll bemoan the fact that, oh, it's a sad situation. It's like, yeah, but okay, why does it exist in the first place, and what can we do about it? That's what I want to hear.
I do too.
And, you know, I mean, as somebody who was on the outside looking in, as somebody who, you know, like I always say, I'm a traditional Catholic. I like to go to the traditional Mass and so on. But that's not nostalgia for the old days. I didn't have any sense of that.
No.
But comparing the two, I mean, the Holy Eucharist was so important to
my conversion. Hang on a second. I want to hear, because this is important. When we come from back to the break, before we get Zaina, I want to ask Matthew to give us his perspective on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist from being a Catholic and not a convert, because I think his perspective is different from mine. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio, Charity with Clarity. Get yourself a cup of coffee, some hot tea. We'll be back with much, much more.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7th, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7th, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jess Romero on Fridays. And we were talking about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And I was saying, you know, over the past 40 years, I asked people about their belief in the real presence at Catholic churches. And I'm scandalized for 40 years, people just don't get it. And so I asked Matt Arnold, a convert to the Catholic faith. I mean, it's 20 some years now, I think. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but I think it's over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So, Matt, tell us your thoughts. How can we bring back a Eucharistic piety where Catholics actually believe again in the source and summit of the Christian life?
You know, Bishop Sheen said you either behave the way you believe or you wind up believing the way you behave.
Yes, he said that.
I can recall going into the little church that I came, when I came into to the Catholic church, we went to a parish church. It was old and funky and been in there for a long time.
Good.
And, the parishioners built the school and they built the gym and then they ran out of money.
Well, that
happens. So they converted the gym into the church building.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But they continued to put money away. And we got a new pastor at one point and he said, hey, man, you saved all this money. Let's do it. Let's build that church. And, you know, they built us a worship space. And I won't with everything that entails. And but one of the differences was that they put the Eucharist in a chapel.
Side chapel,
kind of off to the, and, you know, sort of in the back and behind you. And we had a new Monsignor who came, and he was kind of Monsignor Exposition. He'd come in all the time and just every Sunday he'd tell us how to behave in a new church because things, you know, configured differently.
Sure.
And one of the things he said is, you know, you bow when you come in. You don't genuflect because the tabernacle's not in the sanctuary. The tabernacle's off in a corner.
Got it.
So you bow towards the altar to show respect for the altar.
Yes, I get it.
You know, within a couple of weeks, I'm in the Eucharistic chapel in front of our Lord, and Mass is going on in the main church. And a layperson comes to the tabernacle to get the host to bring in, which, of course, is already an abuse. And what does she do? She walks over to the tabernacle, makes a little bow. Right?
Nobody,
and I said, turn to my wife when he was saying it in the first place. I said, nobody's ever going to genuflect again.
Yep.
Okay, this is the thing. We need to behave the way we believe.
That's right.
If Christ is really there and every knee on heaven and earth needs to bow before him, then you know, you need to do that. Because I go to the traditional Mass, and half of the people at traditional Mass don't genuflect. You know? And it's just because we've lost sight of it. And that sort of thing needs to be emphasized. All it takes is somebody up there reminding you.
Yeah.
Jesus is actually here. You need to behave as though Jesus were here.
I'll tell you one more thing. As a Catholic, the Corpus Christi processions of bringing Jesus out in June, out into the streets, I think that is such a great witness as a child. And my kids even remember, we used to go down to St. Michael's Abbey for those processions. And they just, you know, there was, you know, 60 priests and, you know, it was just a big, music, singing. And with flowers, the kids, it was just a great thing. Why? Because it centered on the Holy Eucharist. So, good job. Hey, we've got Zaina on the line, who's a convert from being a Muslim, Islam. And we know that she's now a Catholic. So, Zaina, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show now that you're baptized. Wow.
Thank you, Terry, so much. Yes, I am so blessed. So blessed.
Well, you know what I love about you, Zaina? You're a very enthusiastic woman, and I wanted to bring you back to talk now. Can you tell our listeners what happened at the church when you were baptized? Kind of describe what took place.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having me on again.
You bet.
So I got all my sacraments of initiation, actually, at the Our Lady of Mount Lebanon. Yes, and it was the same church that I had walked into about a year and a half ago, and it was just such a beautiful experience. I mean, now I feel like I truly understand why we compare this feeling to a wedding, right?
Yes.
I just feel that... you know, before I was almost like being courted by my husband. Now it was like a true marriage. And I was so, so overwhelmed with joy to see how many people were there. I had people that I had been told had been praying for me. And then to see them there, my baptism, just feeling that community, the feeling of community that our church had. So it was such a beautiful moment. And, you know, after receiving all my sacraments, we had a little celebration. Mm-hmm. And through that celebration, a couple of people have given me gifts that have just propelled me deeper into the faith, you know, everything from beautiful rosaries to beautiful prayer books. I mean, it gosh, I can't even really put it into words.
I love it.
Such an amazing experience. Yeah, yeah.
Zane, I have Matt Arnold with me, who's also a convert. Matt, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I also went through that same experience of getting kind of the sacramental grand slam, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I can remember feeling, I mean, you know, the whole thing was kind of a blur, you know, but sure. I do remember feeling that, you know, it's like, I know that you can't really feel grace, but I certainly felt the joy that it brought. Like you compare it to a wedding feast, and it is, and it's that kind of thing. And it's also even not unlike the wedding night in the sense that, you know, you have that consummation when you finally receive the sacraments. It's beautiful and intimate, but also grand and regal.
And Zaina, let me ask you something too. Matt made a good comment about receiving Holy Communion. I've been at church with you at the Sacred Heart Chapel where you weren't Catholic and you couldn't receive. Tell us what happened when you received your first Holy Communion.
I just felt so humbled, so honored. And although there was joy there,
yes,
it was such a feeling of peace, of serenity, and it's almost as if my whole life flashed before my eyes and all these little moments of my life were culminated to that exact moment, you know, especially being a Muslim, being so far away from what Christianity actually is. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, these little moments of my life ever, you know, even like, for example, I used to go to Lebanon and visit our Blessed Virgin Mary. There's a big statue. I remember visiting that. Mm-hmm. And here I was in that church looking at her. So just all these little moments. Culminated to that, number one. And then number two, I couldn't wait till next Sunday, right? So I was thinking about Sunday, and I was like, it's too long. I have to wait 6 more days to do this.
That's
again.
Funny. Sure.
And then through the grace of God, I found a great mass that had evening mass. So I started to go to daily mass. So it's
awesome.
Just been such an amazing feeling to go through that.
Well, we're excited to hear you speak like this as a cradle Catholic. When I listen to people like you or Matt coming into the church, I have a principle that I receive Holy Communion every day since I was 14, and I'm 62 now. But one of the principles that I try to do is this morning when I received Holy Communion, make this think in terms that this is my first time and my last time of receiving Holy Communion, so that I really appreciate going to Holy Communion, because the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ I'm receiving, and then asking for the graces for that day that I'm receiving Holy Communion to be another light of Christ and to serve my fellow man, my family, and try to be that light that Christ is to me and whatever work I do for that day. But I got to ask you, now that you're a Catholic, and I know that you're going to Mass and you're receiving the sacraments, has any of your friends, and I know that it was difficult because if people want to listen to your conversion story, so to speak, they can go back on the podcast and listen to it. But I know that that is difficult being a Muslim convert, that many of the family and your own family, it was difficult for them to see that you were becoming a Catholic. But what about other friends that were Muslim? Did you have that same response, or are some people, you know, are they actually accepting now what you've done? Or tell me how do you handle that situation? Because that must be difficult.
It's really through the grace of God. I could not be where I am, because it's very easy to be caught up in that sorrow. I mean, to think that, hey, everyone that I've known my whole life, friends, family, are not there supporting this wondrous moment. But it's through the grace of God that he gives me peace. And yes, it is difficult at times, but I don't focus on that, because if I do, you know, it's kind of what the evil wants, for you to wallow in it and say, look what this did to you and all these negative things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what, I just focus on God, and that's really it. And through my baptism and receiving these sacraments, I feel like I have glasses on. You know, that's
awesome.
A little metaphor that my godmother gave me is, you know, hey, we could see before, but now you got glasses on. It's
a good analogy.
An experience. Yeah, and those things are things of this world, right? Wanting this big group of friends and wanting your family to be there and hurrah, hooray. It really is things of this world, and it's amazing how I was still given this other family. Not that anything could replace my actual family, but this family of the church, this community that just really propels me forward. So thank God to that.
Well, Zaina, we'd love to have you at the Sacred Heart Chapel. I know with the St. Charbel Mass that we have every 22nd of each month at the Sacred Heart Chapel. You're able to make that and other liturgies here. And it's always a joy to see and to talk with you. I want to comment that your love for God goes through your smile. I mean, you have that. People can't see you, but when they meet you, they know that you are a person in love with God, and that comes across real clear.
Yeah, can I ask you a real quick question? Because you're like me in a sense, and you're kind of by ritual, right? Because you go right. to an Eastern Catholic mass, but
Maronite.
I'm assuming the daily mass is Latin Rite. I
mean, Roman.
Novus Ordo.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. So how do you find them? You know, I'm not asking for a line by line comparison. how do you experience them really very much in the same way, or is it very different, or what?
Sure, they're very similar in the same way that, you know, God's love has so many different dimensions to it. Mm-hmm. So when I'm going to these different masses, I feel like I'm just seeing different views of God. And of course, through the Eastern Rite, the Maronite Rite, I do feel this sort of home in a way,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the language and the culture.
Urban.
But, and that's what's so beautiful. Even when I'm not there, I still feel like home when it's, you know, a Latin mass. And I just recently actually went to a Latin low mass, I think it
yes,
was.
Yes, a Latin low mass.
My God, the beauty of that mass is just tremendous. That was an amazing experience. And also going through the Sacrament of Reconciliation, so going to my first confession. Matt, do you remember how your first confession felt like?
Very well.
It was like 20 years ago.
Yes.
What a feeling. I mean, mm-hmm. I truly felt the weight of sins. And even if they're venial sins, they're just, you know, I remember standing in line and I'm sweating and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe these are the things that I did. And that was just, you know, an experience of itself. So it's just been such a grace to see all these different, you know, dimensions of love.
I think adult baptism, you know, gives you that perspective that you've, you know, like, it's certainly the way I felt, that you've been given this immense treasure, this forgiveness of your sins. And of course, I was a musician, I was in the entertainment business and so forth. So I had a pretty impressive backlog of mortal sins to be wiped away by baptism. And thanks be to God, the temporal punishment due for them as well. But, you know, yeah, it didn't take long for me to offend God, even after being given that very precious gift. And the reality of that really hit me. I wept through my first confession, you know, but they were really tears of gratitude, you know, but it also, I think having that gift of adult baptism really sharpens your understanding of the depth, you know, the gravity of the offense of God that sin is.
Yep. Zaina, can I say welcome home again?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. And let's keep in touch. We'd love to chat with you another time. So may God richly bless you and your family, Zaina. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much. God bless you
God
all.
Love you. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about, well, we're going to give Fulton Sheen a voice, and then we're going to talk about the 10 things you must do before you die, the last three. We'll be right back. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and, you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Justin's show and it's great." And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show. And they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. I always like to say I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope is money, I'd be a billionaire. Zaina always pumps me up when I hear from her. Periodically, I see her at the Sacred Heart Chapel, and she's just a fervent convert, and I love her zeal. Matthew, I want to bring the smartest guy in the room right now in through a 50 frame. Yeah! Oh, Sheen ahead, everybody. You bet. Matt, Bishop Sheen says this, and I really think this is profound. He says, too many people get credit for being good when they are only being passive. They are too often praised for being broad-minded when they are so broad-minded that they can never make up their minds about anything.
Yeah.
Well, is that apropos for today?
Oh, of course it is. That's yeah, people parade their passivity as some kind of badge of honor. Hey, you know, when that big crisis happened, I didn't think anything. You know, it's like, of course, it's not presented that way.
No.
But that's, you know, kind of the reality of it. And that's something that I think is going to tie into what we're talking about later, too, is I really believe that, you know, just as love is an act of the will, it's you know, commitment is also an act of the will.
Oh yeah,
and that's one of those things that you know, you make an intellectual decision and you commit to something,
sure,
and then the passion follows. Mm-hmm. People say, you know, you get passionate about something and then choose that as the, you know, the career that you're going to have or the person you're going to be with or whatever. It's like, and I say no, you know, use your intellect, weigh the pros and cons and so forth, make a decision, become committed, and then that passion will follow, because if you're really committed to making something happen, then those other things are going to fall in line. Whereas if you think you're passionate about something, and then you become committed to it and find out you're not, you know, it's another thing altogether. I guess I'm being a little convoluted. I guess a lot of people say follow your bliss.
Yeah.
And I think that's terrible advice.
I agree with that totally. St. Thomas Aquinas says this: avoid evil and do good. See, that's not passive.
No,
that's the approach I think every day. And I'll just give my take, and then I want to hear your feedback. But I talk about custody of the eyes in our culture right now. If you don't have custody of the eyes, you will not avoid evil, because we have such a sexual gratification culture right now that you just open up your website to something, you're on the internet, and it's coming at you at all ends.
Oh, I go on the... Well, first off, I can say this too.
Tell me.
You know, when it comes to sexual sins,
sure,
and especially of the eyes, the best way to fight that is to run.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, it's like retreat is the proper strategy, I think, in that particular battle.
Sure.
And so we have, and of course I have kids and stuff, and so we've got all of this software and whatnot.
Covenant eyes.
That keeps those things, you know, at bay, at least as far as possible. You know, there are a lot of images that are not considered pornographic that are certainly not modest.
They're offensive.
You know, and you'll find that you go on, even on a Catholic website, and, you know, in order not to have to pay a lot of money to maintain your website, they will allow ads.
Yeah.
And stuff will come along on the sides.
Yep.
The sidebars of what you're reading, you're scrolling down and like, whoa, okay. You know, didn't expect that. And even though it's not, you know, technically a pornographic image, you know, living in Southern California in the summertime, just walking out the front door is a battle to keep custody of the eyes.
This is true.
So, yeah, it's ongoing.
Well, I think it is going to tie into what we've been talking about. For those who haven't realized, every Friday, the last two, three, this is the third Friday in a row, we've been talking about 10 things you must do before you die.
Yeah, because we talk about them so much, we never get through all 10.
That's correct. It took three Fridays to do this. But I mention this because, you know, we hear in the secular world that, you know, you need to do this, these 10 bucket list things you have to do before
right.
you die.
Yeah, see the Grand Canyon. And
jump out of an airplane.
Right, yeah.
All these things that are, and I'm saying, time out.
What? Meet Terry Barber. I mean,
yeah, I don't think so.
I got that one checked off.
No. But the 10 things you must do before you die that are really important, and we're at number 9. And I'm going to mention it to Matt, and I think this is so important.
You know, before you do number, can you just quickly run through the get rid of the table of contents? Just
I'll give them right now.
So that we know what we've gone through already.
Yeah, and again, for those who want to go and listen to the previous Fridays, you'll get that. Number 1, forgive. Number 2, give thanks. Number 3, express love. Number 4, receive. Number 5, let go. Number 6, choose thoughts carefully. Number 7, serve others. Number 8, know thyself. And now we're talking about know Jesus. We finally got to the most important thing, in my opinion, is because if you don't know Jesus and you die, you know what? That's going to be global warming for you. Yeah, I think because you got to know Jesus. He's the gatekeeper. Hey, and I want to quote the Gospel of John. It says that this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, to whom you have sent. Matthew, I want to just quote a couple verses, and then I want to get your take, because Jesus says throughout the Gospel of John, which is another one of my favorite Gospels, he says, I am the bread of life, in the Gospel of John, number 6, chapter 6. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. Wow, I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine and you are the branches. All of these, I see Jesus just laying it all out and saying, I'm the way to get to heaven.
Yep, he's pretty clear.
And the only way.
Yes. Well, and he uses the those
scripture verses
from John are called the I am verses.
That's right.
And it's, again, this is something that we in our culture, because of translation, because of the fact that we weren't Jewish to begin with, we kind of miss out on some of these things unless you've really studied the Bible. And, you know, you go back to the book of Exodus and Moses is in front of the burning bush and he says, you know, God tells him to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let the people go. And he says, who shall I say has sent me? He says, tell them I am.
Yeah, I am who am. Yep.
I am who am. Tell them I am has sent me. Right? God doesn't just possess being. He does, you know, we talk about his attributes, but he doesn't possess these things as though, you know, he has some things and not others. He is those things.
Amen.
God is being, right? So I am is the right name. Well, Yahweh in the Hebrew. And the Orthodox Jews, even today, won't say the I am out loud.
No way.
You know, I mean, it's
sacred.
The name of God is so sacred and so holy. And so that's why people react to Jesus the way they do, is because he's I am-ing all over the place, right? Yeah. Especially when he's in front of Caiaphas, and that's in John's version of the gospel, I believe. He says, are you the Son of God?
Yes.
Are you the Messiah? And he says, I am. and the reaction, the high priest tears his clothes. I can't hear this.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And so when Jesus is saying, I am this and I am that, he's not only saying, I'm the only way to heaven, he's proclaiming his divinity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus is, you got to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, strength, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself, which is the theme for my program, by the way.
Coming up right after
coming
this.
Up right after this. But yeah, if you have to understand who Jesus is. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a, a cynic sage like some of our, Bible study, whatever you call them, modernist Bible critics would have. You know, he is God incarnate, and not God in a man suit. You know, he's not God wearing a man costume.
Right.
He's not a man who became God or discovered his divinity like Shirley MacLaine. He is,
right.
You know, he is God. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Son. who became a human being, entered into time, paid a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay.
Well said.
And without him, yeah, there isn't any spending eternity with God.
Amen. And I want to make a suggestion on knowing God by reading his gospel, the good news.
Amen.
And Matthew, I mentioned this off the air. I'm going to mention it again. I don't recommend the gospel of Mark for someone to read the first time because it's the short gospel. I tell them to read Matthew because it's so full with the teachings of Christ that, you know, read the whole gospel. That's number one. And then I also tell people to know God. And many times I've asked people to come with me into the Blessed Sacrament, come into a church and be there, because I really believe the grace of being in the presence of the Eucharist is a powerful grace.
Yeah, before the show, when we were looking at the Bishop Sheen quotes, and you said you were marveling at his ability to say a lot in a few words.
Absolutely.
He was very concise, but very profound.
That's true.
And he says, how do you do that? And, you know, you just gave us the answer. He spent an hour with the Lord
years.
Every day.
Every day of his priesthood. Matt, also, I want to get your take on knowing Christ. You're, again, a convert, and I think the perspective on your end is a little different from mine. So what did you do to really dig deep into knowing Jesus Christ?
That's an excellent question. You know, I came to a place, you know, because, and you know me.
I do, pretty well.
I have a tendency I have a tendency to throw myself in to things with both feet.
Oh, you absolutely. Know,
I jump
you.
In. I'm all in.
Yep.
And certainly that was the way with Catholicism. One of the beautiful things about Catholicism is that you can, no matter how long you live, you can't possibly learn it all.
No.
You know, learning. And so thanks be to God, if things work out the way I hope they will, I'll have eternity to contemplate God, you know, and
no,
so
that's right.
It'll all work out fine. But in the meantime, I came to a place just after a couple of three, 4 years, you know, I mean, I came into the church in 96, but 1998, I was hosting Scripture Matters Live with Scott Hahn on EWTN.
That's pretty big.
That's a
big jump.
That's a big jump. That's a sharp learning curve, if you will. But after a couple of years of that, you know, Scott and I used to talk. We would talk every night for a few minutes before the show, and then we'd talk again after.
Sure.
You know, and it was just our time.
You bet.
You know, because that's how you build relationships. Even though we couldn't be together,
right?
We you know, spent the time just talking and stuff. And at one point I asked him, I said, I've come to that place where I feel like I know a lot about Jesus, but I don't really know Jesus the way people do. They talk about having that relationship with him. And I pray. I've got all the elements, and what is it? And his recommendation, of course, he's a professor, but his recommendation to me was to teach.
Exactly.
And I thought that's a beautiful
profound.
Thing. You know, because I've come to that place where I feel like if you can't explain something in terms that a 6-year-old can understand, you don't understand it as well as you think you do.
Absolutely.
You know, but it's that, it's to teach about our Lord, you have to know him, you know, and that stands out in sharp relief once you start doing it.
Wow. Last thing I'll say, just wow, is that he who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Amen.
When we come back, we're going to hit number 10, and that's embracing our particular death. Yes, there's an expiration date. We'll be right back with the Terry and Jesse Show.
I think I'm already starting to turn.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest, I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. If you
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, I just want to call all the people, you know, I got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love it.
Out there.
This is Terry Barber reminding you There's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back, Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jesse today. And we've been discussing, I think, the ultimate question about, and that is the 10 things you must do before you die. And again, I'm not talking about going to Vegas or jumping out of an airplane. I'm talking about serious matter that's going to help you meet Jesus when you die and to be on the right side. And so the number 10 is the embracing of death. You know, Philippians says, for me to live is Christ and to die is a gain. And I think of that for most of us in our world, unless we're practicing this virtue of a holy death, that we don't want to talk about it.
No, gosh, it's almost taboo. It's the one thing that we absolutely all have in common, and it's the one thing that our culture just wants to absolutely ignore.
But when I see hearing what the saints have to say, who we are, you know, like St. Paul says, I'm imitating Christ as you imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so the saints are our role models, and St. Francis of Assisi, having a Franciscan background, I want to give him a plug. he says this, behold, brother, doctor, before foretold death is near, for me, she will be the gate of life. Now, he says on his deathbed, I'm asking my brothers to lay him on the earth. He invited Sister Death to be his guest as he exclaimed, welcomed my Sister Death. There's a man who understands that his death is his birth to life, mm-hmm. eternal life.
Yeah, you know, and some people, I think about thinking about death, preparing for death is morbid,
yeah,
or whatever, or however they might feel about it. But you notice if you look at paintings of St. Francis of Assisi, there's almost always a skull.
That's right.
In the painting.
Very
and it's
common.
To represent the fact that he kept death before him.
Of course.
The idea that, you know, you understand that you're going to die, so you want to prepare every day a little bit to meet that fate.
Yeah. And I'll just give you a comment. I'm going to a funeral of my relative. My wife's brother passed away at age 71.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, and he's, you know, 8 kids. One of the kids became a Catholic priest. One's a Brigham Christi celibate woman, and serving the family. And he was prepared. He was anointed. He knew he was dying. And, many people say, I'm so sorry. You're right. I'm sorry that the family's going to miss him. But he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He raised his family in a godly way. The kids are practicing their faith. When you think about 8 for 8 in the culture today, these mm-hmm. kids are still going to Mass, still going to confession. I have to say, good job, Joseph Doyle.
Yeah, amen. You know,
I wish I could say that too, that into my life. But here's something that the book of Corinthians talks about. Death is swallowed up in victory. Mm. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians says this, for as Adam all die, so also in Christ shall be all made alive. Matt, this is just, in other words, this little
That would be the good news there.
That is the good news. And think about it. What we do, you're in your 60s. We're both similar ages. We know that we're rounding third base. Mm-hmm. It's a reality. I'm not going to try and go get my, you know, Corvette and have a, you know, middle age crisis, and it's not going to work. I am realizing.
Actually, it's a little too late for your midlife crisis.
Yeah,
I guess
so.
It's coming and gone. You missed it.
I missed it. Well, good. The point I'm making, though, is we know that we're rounding third base, and we need to prepare for meeting Jesus Christ.
That's the old axiom. Tempus fugit, right?
You
see
go.
That all the time. Time flies.
Yep.
But there's more to that saying. It's tempus fugit, memento mori.
There you
time
go.
Flies, remember death.
Yeah, remember death, man.
Book of Sirach, remember thy last end and thou shalt never sin.
Yep.
Preparation for death improves your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, even Mark Twain, he had a great comment, very natural comment, mm-hmm. but he said, the fear of death follows from the fear of life. Mm-hmm. A man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time.
Yes. We were looking at that before the show.
We did.
And I said, you know, that's... You know, because Twain wasn't any kind of Catholic.
No.
That's a good natural wisdom,
yeah,
right?
It is.
Good common sense. And it reminds me of, William Wallace, at least in the movie Braveheart.
Yes.
He says, every man dies, not every man really lives. And that's, I think that's what Mark Twain's getting at.
Yes. Right, you know? Very
and
well
also,
said.
The other thing, too, just to bring
telling.
To bring it full circle back to the 10 virgins in the gospel.
That's, beginning of the show.
Yeah, to be prepared for the coming of Jesus, to be prepared for, you know, I don't know if I'm going to live in the time of the second coming, but I know I'm going to meet Jesus. I could meet him today.
That's right.
You know, if I don't watch myself on my drive home, I could meet him today. And so it's important to be prepared, and it's important to be prepared by the way you live. Bishop Sheen used to tell this great story.
Tell us.
About a guy many, many years ago, and he lived a very libertine life. He lived as if there were no God. And his friends warned him. He said, you know, you've got to be careful about the way you live because, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to die someday.
Yep.
And he says, I'm not worried because I know that when I'm on my deathbed, all I have to do is say three words, my Jesus mercy. Hmm. I say those three words and I know that Jesus will forgive me and I'll be good. And, as it happened, he was riding his horse across a bridge and over a great chasm, and the horse shied and threw him, and he went over the railing. And as he fell into the abyss, they heard him say three words, I'll be damned.
That one, I'm sorry.
But that's it. Now, the point is that he didn't cry for mercy in that moment because he hadn't prepared for it. He didn't live that way, and so he died the way he lived.
Well, the Bible says the way the tree bends is the way it falls.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I don't, you know, want anybody here on this show to think that, oh, I'll get holy later. No.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned it yesterday at the show. We always say, you know, get holy or die trying. And, you know, it's a pun. But, I mean, the point of it is we need to prepare for that. And even one of the Psalms, Psalm 116, I like this psalm. It says, Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Mm.
And here's the point. We have a funeral in about 4 hours here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. A young man, 22 years old, committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
We're praying with the family. That's a sad situation, but we see that a lot in our culture right now. As a matter of fact, I think it's the third most cause of death for people ages 16 to 35 is suicide. So why are we talking about, you know, the 10 things you must do before you die? I'll tell you why. Because it's the only thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the only thing that matters, really.
That's right.
It's the thing that's,
it doesn't matter if the Dodgers lose another chance to go to the World Series.
Right.
Fourth season in a row.
Well, that's the
Who
thing.
Cares?
Terry, for young people, because we talk about this too. When you get a little older, you slow down a little bit, and then you start saying, hey, you know, it's like... You look at a beautiful sunset and you say, you know, just look at that. Mm-hmm. And you remember a time when you were thinking, I don't have time for that.
Oh, yeah.
I got other stuff to do. I got other bigger fish to fry.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is, it's everything you do. Every step you take, you're taking a step closer to eternity with God or closer to eternal separation from God. I mean, that's it. That's not a false dichotomy.
Could you just repeat that? Because I want to say, is this microphone on? Hearing this on... Radio is the ultimate. Say it one more time.
Everything that you do brings you a step closer to eternity with God or eternal separation from God.
That's it. You nailed it.
Every decision is a moral decision. everything that you do is a preparation for that big test, the big test that's coming for us all.
And Bishop Sheen said it this way, and life is worth living. And if you want to get a copy of that, you can call the 877-526-2151 number. But he says, every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. And why do I say that? Because when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, through Mary, I might add, mm-hmm. she was the one that brought us Jesus, your life will change. And if you're listening and saying, oh, man, that sounds really good. You know, I'm baptized Catholic, but you know, I'm really not that fervent. I'm listening to you, but I mean, it's been like a year since I've been to confession. I'm going to tell you, go to confession. That's the advice I would give everyone. If it's over a month, go to confession. You need to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. We call it sanctifying grace. Mm-hmm. You need sanctifying grace to develop these virtues and to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, because graces are going to be flowing into you. Now, what is that? The life of God in you. You want the life of God in you? Go to confession, receive Holy Communion, pray your rosary, do spiritual acts of charity, and these graces will come.
The living a life of sanctifying grace, living a sacramental mm-hmm. life,
yeah.
it's not going to change your circumstances.
Nope.
It's going to change you.
Exactly.
And then the way that you deal with your circumstances is going to change also.
Wow. Hey, I just got to get a plug in for the women's conference. I'm getting excited. We're getting close to being full, but we still have a couple seats left. If you want to come, please call 877-526-2151 or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And also, I just saw the flyer for the Spiritual Warfare Conference. It's coming up. Wow, and January 11th, it looks great, Matt.
Yeah, it's quite the lineup. We're going to
have
a lot of great speakers and a lot of good. And speaking, you know, by the way, speaking of which, in September, just next month,
right here at the chapel.
On the 28th, right here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, on the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel, mm-hmm. we're having a special conference presented by the St. Michael Shield Prayer Group, mm-hmm. and our own Eddie Chavez and Ruben Nava are going to be speaking. It's Saturday, September the 28th at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel. They're going to start with Holy Mass at 9 o'clock and then going to have the speakers after that. So a great day for those who want to live in the strength of Christ the King under the bright banner of Our Lady, from whom the serpent flees.
Well said. And man, I want to mention, I'm going to be there also as the MC, but I want to remind people, this is the same group that comes to our chapel every Saturday morning. So if you're in Southern California, at 6:30 in the morning, these guys sacrifice at 6:30, come into the Sacred Heart Chapel, get down on their knees, and they say their prayers. They pray their rosary together with about 25 men. And these are prayers of spiritual warfare prayers for their families. And so these guys are very serious about the faith. And so I would say this to all the wives. Tell your husband about this prayer group mm-hmm. that comes every Saturday, but also have him come on the 28th.
That's right.
St. Michael, the Archangel's Feast Day at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. I'm going to be there. I'd love to see you there. We have so many activities. If you go to our website, look under calendar, you'll see that we have lots of good activities coming up at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Matt, I asked Jesse this question. I bet you could answer it. Man, what state should we be living in?
That would be the state of grace, Terry.
I knew you could answer that. And what state shouldn't you be living in, brother?
You do not want to live in the state of mortal sin.
Absolutely. I want to thank all of you listening who have also been praying for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Also those who have made donations to us. We're getting through the summer. September 1st is Sunday. And if you'd like to make a donation, we sure could use it. 877-526-2151 or go online, secure online at virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Up next, Matt Arnold.
Yeah, going to be doing the readings for this upcoming Sunday in the extraordinary form and talking about loving the Lord thy God.
Well said. Thanks again. Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful. God love you. Have a great weekend.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests, Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.